is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outloud here. We are calling this one the perpetual political pandemic. And we surely don't say that with any joy in our step, but I am sure you are feeling it out there as much as we are here. But you're seeing a lot of the same signs that we've seen early on. You're seeing the crackdown where they're forcing masks on the little children, that they want to wear them all the time. You're seeing businesses bring back the mandates of masks. You're seeing that. And you're seeing this aggressive push for vaccines that we've never, ever seen in our lifetime. Ever have we seen this sort of a regimen before, and yet it's all playing out in real time. So it appears that this two-week, batten down the hatches to flatten the curve has turned into a perpetual political pandemic here now. And it is sad to state that is the affairs here, my fellow Americans. But I want to start off and talk about a lot of that today with you here. We have a great program set up for you. And I want to start with Dr. Peter McCullough is here. He's an internist, a cardiologist, epidemiologist, clinical professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine in Dallas, Texas. He's been a leader in the pandemic response to the COVID-19 disaster and surely has been a go-to voice throughout our country and our great nation here. Dr. Henry Ely joins us, founder of the Energetic Health Institute, author of over 200 published works. He's the lead author on a series of peer-reviewed researched papers providing significant evidence that safe and effective treatments for COVID do exist and are being withheld from the American public. And of course, we have been talking about exactly that point with you for some time. We have a little bit of news to tell you too about Dr. Ely, something with the platform in just a little bit here. But I want to start off here first with Dr. McCullough a moment here. And so, all right, we're dealing with now this perpetual pandemic deal here. And, I was thinking here coming in today, Dr. McCullough, what makes really SARS-CoV-2 really any different than previous viruses that we've dealt with in our nation and in relation to how we've reacted to it here as a people?
Well, Malcolm, thanks for having me on the show. And it's great to be on the other side of the microphone and great to be on with Dr. Ely. I think both of us are strongly committed to the peer-reviewed science and the literature to guide us here. And we really put our money where our mouth is in terms of our publications. But coronavirus is a class of viruses that form the common cold. This one was pretty clearly manipulated in a lab in Wuhan, China, to be more infectious and more deadly. And I think for the first time, we had a virus that could cause symptoms like a common cold, but it could progress into the lungs and then in the end be fatal because it causes internal blood clotting. We've never seen a virus that does that.
But what about our reaction to it, though, is really the other half of that question. I mean, the way the government has reacted and the overreach that seems to, we've never seen this before in a virus, have we?
No, it seems to be a cauldron of brewing fear over the course of the year. And despite actually all metrics of the pandemic getting better, the fear has been ginned up and brewed up to such extraordinary levels. Now we hear media commentators basically saying that our freedoms have to be linked to accepting an experimental investigational vaccine that both doesn't work and is not safe.
I've been questioning the numbers from the very beginning here. Let me bring on Dr. Henry Ely. And now this is going to be really something that I'm going to share with you right next to people. But let me also tell you that Dr. Ely was really one of the first people to prove that the CDC was violating multiple federal laws in order to hyperinflate these COVID deaths. And this is a problem because we've seen this early on happening. Now, I've seen a chart, Dr. Ely, with a group, a task force that you put together here. And it was an eye-opener to me because I felt some of this was happening. I talked out loud about this well over a year ago in the infancy stage of when this was happening. So you're saying here in this chart I've seen, which is just about a week and a half old, by the way, this is new information, that the total deaths using guidelines published by the CDC on March 24, 2020, the guidelines specifically show that 494,807 would have died from COVID, if you follow me. Now, you're saying the actual death count could be this low had federal laws not been violated by the CDC, and it would only be 29,000. Explain to listeners, please, the difference of those two numbers. They're strikingly different, 29 versus, wow, 494,000.
Right. Well, Malcolm, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here with Peter as well. What we delved in last summer, we said something didn't feel right. I think we were all on the same page, but we didn't know exactly what didn't feel right. So we were looking at the death counts. And one of the things that really alarmed us was a March 24th, 2020, what's called COVID alert number two that the CDC and the NVSS put out to all certified death reporters, medical examiners, coroners, and the like. And what they said, what they wanted people to do was they wanted to change comorbidities. So comorbidities are typically listed in part one, which allows us to really count, you know, how many heart people died related to heart disease, diabetes, you know, hypertension, things of this nature, right? Well, for COVID only, the CDC issued guidance saying that all comorbidities had to now be moved into part two to de-emphasize them completely, so COVID would be counted as the cause of death. Now, when you fast forward to today, the CDC is now saying that 94%+ of all death certificates associated with COVID had on average 4.0 comorbidities. The big deal for that, in my personal opinion, is that if they had used the previous handbook, the CDC publishes a handbook on how to report death certificates, and it's been in use since 2003, and this covers every cause of death. If they had just used those same guidelines for that we've been using perfectly fine for the past 17 years, it is very likely that the death count would be roughly for COVID around 29,000, maybe a little bit higher. So we have a hyperinflation potentially as high as 94%. Malcolm, what's really concerning and alarming to me is Alameda County in California, which houses Oakland, the city, and Santa Clara County, which houses San Jose, did a soft audit on their death certificates related to COVID. And a soft audit means they're going to remove the things that obviously shouldn't have been counted, like gunshot wounds and car accidents and things like that. They found on a soft audit, Malcolm, a 25 and a 22% reduction in death certificates right off the top. So that tells us that we are right on with this, and we need to do a full audit to correct the count.
Both of you now as doctors and folks who understand, have done the research on this, you know what you're talking about, you understand the pitfalls. We're seeing things we've never seen before. And, you know, a lot of people, Dr. McCullough, question you, and we see you on different media reports, and they try to get you to jump over the ledge and call somebody out or do something. You know, you always see that in the media world. And the reason is because there's so much bad information out there. And at some point, it's like people are really looking to grab onto something or some sort of a truth bearer to understand what's really happening here. So when you look at the manipulation of numbers that Dr. Ely says right there, that are very clear, you and I've talked about it before. We've studied this. We've looked over a year ago. We knew this thing was being manipulated. Then you have to ask why. And then you see the holding back of the treatments that were very effective for the idea of this vaccine thing. And you have to ask why. And then you see masks, the pushing of masks onto a society. Why? And the fear factor. Why? As this thing continues on, you know, at this point here, I mean, the evidence begins to add up, does it not? And how do you deal with this as doctors when you're walking such a tightrope with your reputations, but yet you know you want to call somebody out because this thing stinks like a bad egg?
I've said in the past that all roads lead to the vaccine. I think from the very beginning, this was a completely planned event that was really meant to drive a needle in every arm. And the people who said that And this mantra that happened, we're currently at 13% of the world that's had a needle in every arm. In the United States, it's interesting, we're right at that 50-50 divide. We have 50% of Americans who have taken the vaccine, and we have 50% of Americans who don't want the vaccine. This is very important. They don't want the vaccine. It's not like they're trying to debate risks and benefits. It's not like they're trying to think about their health or what have you. They don't want the vaccine, and they're being told from a variety of different sources, employment, travel, government, school, they're being told they have to have something injected in their bodies that they don't want.
That's exactly it. It's happening all around us. I mean, I see it all over. They're telling my daughter to get to college, to stay in college. She's going to have to get this. And of course, she'll do it online or she'll go another road. She's not going to get the vaccine. But personal choice is out the window, it seems, at this point. They're pushing this so badly, you just have to know there has to be another motive involved in this thing. And then you mentioned the 11%, I think you said, around the world, 11%?
It's 13%. 13. And I would just add to that, that, you know, we've never had a situation where we violated the principle of autonomy. A principle of autonomy says that under no circumstances can we ever receive any pressure, coercion, or the threat of reprisal to have something, take a medicine or have something injected into our body. The scary thing about a vaccine is you can't take it back once it's injected in your body. And, you know, half of Americans patriotically waited in line December, January, February. They lined up. They took the vaccine. My patients did it too. People in my family did it too. And they largely didn't question what's in the vaccine.
Yeah. Listen, now you just said it right there. I have very, very dear friends, people I truly love, cherish, that have taken that vaccine, and it worries me greatly. Let me ask you, how worried, for real, it's a real question, how worried are we with all the unknowns? I mean, are these people out of the woods at this point? Are they safe? Could there still be some problems there?
I'm worried. I don't think they're safe. I have two papers now in press, one in preprint with Dr. Anthony Kyriakopoulos from Athens, Greece, where we have a very good line of reasoning to think that certainly the messenger RNA stays in the body for a very long time. These are gene transfer technologies that by FDA regulations should have at least 5 years of annual visits, because the FDA is concerned that these can have prolonged effects. These have been basically short-tracked as a vaccine, but in fact, they are transferring genetic material into the human body. We are seeing syndromes we've never seen before in our life, and the FDA is acknowledging these syndromes and safety warnings. And I think we're seeing the tip of the iceberg in terms of chronic disease. Senator Ron Johnson had a press briefing, and he had vaccine injury victims. The thing that struck me is how late they were in presenting. Many of these people are in the original clinical trials. It's 9 months later, and now they're presenting with seizures, paralysis, blindness, inability to swallow, wow, Need for feeding tubes. It's horrendous. Mm.
What is the death count at now, by the way, on the vaccines, please?
Death count as of July 9th, and data through there was 10,991. The CDC has attempted to correct that by saying that some of that was from overseas sources. So they're trying to backpedal. But I think it's important for us to bring forward the injunctive action that the attorney Tom Renz brought forward this week, saying he has a whistleblower that is ready to testify that the CDC is, again, manipulating data behind the scenes and has withheld upwards of 45,000 fatalities in conjunction with the experimental COVID inoculations.
Yeah, I was talking to his folks this morning. We'll be talking to attorney Tom Renz in the next couple of days here, exactly, with that suit and everything that's happening there. Here we go now. Let's talk about the money, the greed. Dr. McCullough says, okay, well, I think all roads lead to that vaccine. Well, he's done the math, and it appears to be that way. Now, Dr. Ely, I want to talk about what let me just also tell folks and welcome, you have a brand new article up on the platform that folks can read right now. If you're listening to this on Sunday, on Viewpoint this Sunday. You can actually read this. It's a three-part special series, From 2 Weeks to Flatten the Curve to Everyone Must Get the Shot is the emphasis title of this three-part series. And this first one is COVID inoculations, potential gain of benefit versus risk of injury using CDC data. I love the piece. I love his style of writing. You're going to love it, folks. So go read that. It's right at AmericaOutloud.com and share it out there. There's so much to learn in there. One of the things you talk about is the money and the greed. And I got to share this. And McCullough, you got to hear what I say here because you're going to have a comment on this. And I want listeners to hear this. This is a head scratcher. So follow me this. He says in the piece now, why are the opinions of billionaires with no medical experience or credentials being sought by the mainstream media? Well, that is a good question, isn't it? If they're not pledging vast sums of their excessive wealth in order to help the families who have been most affected by this man-made crisis, then why should anyone care what they think about the very medical products they're so heavily invested in? But here's the head twister right here. And think about this. He says, so of course, they're going to advocate for mask mandatory vaccination and vaccine passports to segregate society. Think about it. He says, what if you could make a product that 7 billion people were forced to use several times a year, or that they couldn't be free, you know, have their liberties, in other words, right? What if their product was mandated so you didn't have to waste billions of dollars on advertising to cajole or coerce your prospective customers? What if governments paid you hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars to develop the product and you never had to pay them back or give them a percentage of the money you made? And here's the real kicker. And what if no one could sue you when your product hurt or killed them? Wow, wow, wow. Sounds like a pretty sweet deal, he says, for a person obsessed with money. I'll tell you what, that part of that, your piece you wrote, Dr. Ely, really got my dander up, but it reminded me of how sick this whole thing is. Speak about that.
Well, I think one of the things we've been following, Malcolm, especially Forbes has done a really good job of this, is showing the tremendous transfer of now well over to, it might be as high as $4 trillion of wealth to the already, in my opinion, pathologically wealthy people. And I use the word pathologically intentionally because I think these are people who are greedy and are consumed by their own greed to the point where they've lost all sense of what is moral, what is ethical, and what is right. When we look at this economic transfer of wealth, we've never seen this egregious, this amount of economic redistribution upward over a 17-month period. We've seen people like Bill Gates and Elon Musk and folks of that nature that are very prominent on Twitter and in the world. We've seen them more than double their billions of dollars and their asset portfolios that they already have, to the point where when you look at this, you have to start asking some really hard questions. Is this right? Is this the world we want to live into? And why should these people who have no medical background, some of them don't even have educational degrees, why should they have any say over what goes into and upon my body? My body was deemed a free sovereign source as of June 19th, 1865. And I'm going to hold my government to that promise that I have the right to decide what goes into and upon my body.
We talk about the numbers, Dr. McCullough. We report on these kinds of things. We continually try to prove to America. But, you know, we're at the point now where we've already proved what we're going to prove. Just like in the case where you said earlier, well, you either got the vaccine or you didn't. You're in the 50% crowd over here or 50% that is not going to get it. But they're still pushing that, and they're really getting kind of ugly between all the press conferences and the president coming out and so many others in that group that are pushing this heavy. But now, as you say, they're mandating it on people. I know people who have had to get the vaccine in recent days and weeks who, well, I didn't think they had to, but they made a choice themselves to get it based on the pressure that was put on their life for their job or their school or some other means. I mean, this is not only unheard of, I mean, it's un-American, but there doesn't seem to be any end to this. Where do you see this going at this point?
I think it's going to go all the way to an absolute apex of tension in our country. And I hate to frighten the listeners, but my crystal ball sees even to the point of activation of the military and law enforcement and others to progressively physically force the vaccine on the population. We're hearing about people going door to door. I can tell you in other countries, elderly people are getting roughed up and getting the vaccine in a variety of venues. It's occurring just north of us in Canada. And I see it going all the way. This is going to be an incredible fight for civil liberties. We're fighting an information battle right now. I mean, we have basically the case that the vaccines don't work and they're unsafe. I mean, we have incontrovertible evidence to that. And we're in an information war. Now, the people who are promoting the vaccine, they know that. And in the last week, they've announced 12, that was called the Dirty Dozen, the disinformation dozen. They think that American public opinion is swayed by other people through social media giving information. And many think that that's completely foolhardy. I was this week on the highway with Del Bigtree, and Del thinks that that this is absolutely ludicrous that 50% of Americans are influenced by 12 people who are spreading disinformation. He had data from an MIT study demonstrating that the 50% who don't want the vaccine have very high levels of medical literacy, have genuine concerns regarding the fact the vaccines don't work and they're unsafe. So it is not a matter of disinformation. It's a matter of these products are investigated. They don't work. They're not safe. And it's my body, my choice. Even if they were the greatest injections ever invented, an individual should always have the right to decline.
Even if they were the greatest invention ever known to mankind, it was always our choice, but yet it no longer seems to be our choice. Dr. Ely, the picturesque, that, what McCullough just said was stunning to me because, you know, for him to go there and paint the picture of what he said, and I get it. I mean, I think most listeners get it and understand. Tell me how that relates to what your thoughts are about that vision, please.
Well, you know, I share Dr. McCullough's deep concerns about the trajectory that we're on because we simply won't do something as simple as read. We won't do something as simple as listen to the people who've already been injured. And we won't do something as simple as take ourselves on a tour back through our history books, take ourselves on a tour back through World War II, take ourselves back on a tour through the Tuskegee experiment, take ourselves back on a tour through the forced sterilization practices that were prominent in the United States up until 1981. You know, I think it's important for us to remember at these moments, our history, remember that we don't want to repeat something even of a grander scale like we've experienced in World War II. And that's why I think the work of Dr. Reiner Fielmick with the Nuremberg Trials 2.0 is so important, that we have to get into this and hold some of these people accountable. I mean, Malcolm, I cannot let go of a little girl that was 19 years old, was coerced and misled into getting the inoculation and died. Her name is or was Simone Scott. And it's a tragic tale of how misinformation from our government, from our health departments can mislead people who otherwise want to do the right thing into a bad decision that can cost them their lives. And I think whenever you have to put a warning label on a product, as the CDC now has to do with every inoculation, I think it's important that when you put a warning label on, that that is right there first and foremost, front and center, that the right to move forward with putting that in your body has to be in the person who has to live with the consequence of that. That's what freedom is all about. And for me, I'm going to fight for Simone Scott. I'm going to fight for these kids, and I'm going to fight to make sure that the values we hold dear and sacred in our country of my body, my choice, my right to decide are something that future generations get to enjoy as well, that it doesn't end here.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening there to Dr. Henry Ely. And let me also give you a little bit of news here. For the first time, we will tell you that he has a brand new show coming to America Out Loud Talk Radio. He is very excited. We're thrilled to have him. He's going to bring a whole depth of knowledge here and expertise. And also, let me add enthusiasm to the conversation. For sure, there's no doubt in my mind, his writings and his his talk are going to be very effective. And again, it adds to the mission, my fellow Americans, that we're on here at America Out Loud. What our goal is in the fight of good and evil, it's what we stand for. And this is why meticulously looking for those right people that build that bigger message is so vital. And Dr. Ely is one of those people. Now, his show will launch August 7th and 8th. So coming up on the weekend, on the Saturday, August 7th, so just a couple weeks away now, and it's called Energetic Health with Dr. Henry Ely. You'll catch that at 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. And by the way, that's right after the McCullough Report with Dr. Peter McCullough at 2 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Now, the good news is that people are coming to our network for vital information by far. I mean, we can see the analytics. We see the growth is like a rocket ship. And people want to know this stuff, and they want to know the truth. There's a lack of truth out there, as I say to you, and there's a lack of knowledge. And people being able to have free speech in the way that it was designed, to have both sides of the conversation, both sides of the argument, the debate, if you will. That's lost. That's a lost art in America. Well, it's not a lost art. We are bringing it back. We're happy to look at all sides of every discussion, every debate, every conversation. And we have it right here. So let me be the first here, Dr. Ely, to welcome you to America Out Loud. We've been talking for a couple of months now, but here it is. And congratulations on this new program you'll be doing. And also your write-ins, which are absolutely perfect, and this wonderful three-part series you're putting out has a wealth of knowledge in there that is priceless for people to read and understand. So,
well, Malcolm, let me first. We are pumped to be on America Out Loud. We are honored to be next to such prestigious people, high integrity people as yourself, Dr. McCullough, the other people that you have representing America Out Loud. We're gonna do our part to make sure we really leave each listener with information that they can use that's functional. And we wanna make sure that we have a show that's about them, that's for them every single week. So we're excited to do it. And we just got off some great calls at the school. And I just think we have an opportunity here. We there's some darkness around us, right? Let's not kid ourselves. Right. But we have an opportunity here to build the world we wanna live in. And I think that comes with, it takes courage, it takes information, and it takes having a good love-based heart energy about us. And I think that's what I love so much about America Out Loud Radio.
Thank you so much for that. It's good to hear that. Dr. McCullough, you've been on fire with your program, and you've been amazing. The guests you've had, the lineup, and the enthusiasm around it. Let me give you the last word, please.
Well, thanks so much again for inviting me into the America Out Loud family, and it's terrific to be alongside Dr. Henry Ely. On the McCullough Report, we've really tackled a lot of issues, and I've broadened it far beyond physicians. I've brought in regulatory experts, psychiatrists, nurse practitioners, nutritionists, legal experts. I've really tried to open a window. Americans are not seeing what's going on in the world. If you turn on the TV right now, there's no window to the outside world. There is no viewpoint being exchanged in a team of doctors right now. We have a medical dictator. We've had two administrations, in my view, that have been very weak, and they've been really railroaded by an agenda with a medical dictator, a whole variety of stakeholders that are completely aligned in getting a needle in every arm to great injury and harm to the population. And I think we have to stand together and show the will of the people that we're going to stop the shot.
Absolutely. Stop the shot. That's exactly it there. That is Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Henry Ely, and a tremendous thank you to both of them. This perpetual political pandemic, the question becomes, how do we fight back, my fellow Americans? What do we do next? And that really is the question, as well as the cancel culture, what's happening in the social media circles. It really has to be patriots and people who love this great nation need to stand tall and need to fight back. We invite you back at AmericaOutloud.com always. This is about you. It is, just as Dr. Ely said there, it is about your life. And we want that to be the good fight. That's what we want to join hands here with you. Now, the other thing I want to tell you about, you hear me on the network all the time talk about it, and And, you know, when you're fighting a COVID or a virus or any flu, the key to this, my friends, is a healthy immune system. If you've got a healthy immune system and you've taken care of yourself, well, you've got a good shot of fighting anything that comes along your way, quite frankly. And that's why I want to introduce you and tell you about Immune Super Boost from Healthy Cell. It is a tremendous product. It's got all of the things in the echinacea, the zinc, the A, the D. It's a really a library of products that are in that gel. It's a gel form. So you can just take the gel, eat it actually right out of the package, or put it in water or on yogurt, ice cream, whatever you want. It's terrific. It's absolutely fabulous. Healthy Cell has a whole host of products. You'll find them at healthycell.com/outloud. All of our listeners get 20% off your first order. So just go there or click the banner ad back at AmericaOutloud.com. Listen, I've been taking Healthy Cell for over 3.5 years. I've been taking their daily regimen, and there is nothing like it I have ever found. Because at the end of the day, it's about the health of your cells. It's how we age. It's how we feel. It's a lifestyle. That's why I tell you all the time, we got to get out and walk. We got to breathe. We got to live life. We got to appreciate all that's around us, all the blessings of life here, so we can continue to do that. And this is the way to do it. HealthyCell.com/outloud. Okay, we're going to take a pause here, and we've got a lot more program ahead on this perpetual political pandemic. We'll see you just on the other side. You're listening to Viewpoint this Sunday.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. Find all that back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@AmericaOutloud.com.
We are dubbing this one today the perpetual political pandemic. And you can say that fast 3 times, potentially, huh? And it is really a bit surreal. It is a deja vu moment. And it's like we've seen this play out before. Now, as I've been talking about up front in the program, you're seeing the restlessness of people. You're seeing a lot of these commands and orders come in place. And I bet you can just imagine that things are going to get, I bet, a little uglier. Remember, we're still in the heat of summer. And I think as the season progresses, I think you're going to see a lot more of this overreach in ways that you probably haven't seen before, which hence is the nature of this perpetual political pandemic, right? And I think the problem, what I will say to you as well, my fellow Americans, is I think you're going to find they're going to run up against a wall potentially, because I will say this to you, most Americans have had enough of this. And so I think you're going to see a lot more pushback this particular time. Let's get started here on the program. I want to bring on Dr. Stephen LaTulip joins us. Let me introduce you to Dr. LaTulip. He's a physician, board certified in family medicine. He's a retired United States Air Force officer and an ordained minister. It's quite a combination. Dr. Steve is currently fighting the battle of cancel culture himself in medicine. And you probably know that if you've been following along here, he has a show, a new program on America Out Loud Talk Radio, plays on the weekends. You can catch that at noontime on America Out Loud Talk Radio. All right, so you have an article this week, and this is really what gave me the driving force of this particular episode today, Dr. LaTulip, and you named it Living Under the Threat of a Perpetual Pandemic. And it does seem they're sort of going there. Now, let's dive first from a medical sense into the Delta variant, because you talk about that in your piece here. And we're talking about the SARS-CoV-2. We're talking about the mutant strains that are very typical that form off of these sort of corona type of viruses. This one is, they're trying to ramp this up, and you say by using the fear factor, but the question is, will they succeed in it? And what do you think about this Delta variant?
Well, I think that the Delta variant was actually hoped to be more virulent, more fearful. It turned out to actually manifest as symptoms, much like the common cold, or not so much the common cold, but the typical allergy symptoms. And of course, we've been in the allergy season. So it would be hard to diagnose. But actually, the Delta variant is the fourth apparent new strain that has actually been produced by the coronavirus, because the virus does mutate rapidly. So they've actually had the going to the Greek alphabet, the alpha variant, then the beta, then the gamma, and then the delta. So I expect that there'll be in no time an epsilon variant if they're going to follow the Greek alphabet. But we have had forever many mutations with the COVID variants, typically following a pandemic. Even if the virus was man-made, which I believe it was in the Wuhan lab, the virus as it mutates tends to default toward a less virulent strain to promote their survivability. Otherwise, they would kill their host and would exist no more. So we can expect that more variants to come will more likely than not tend toward becoming less virulent, not more virulent, and therefore less something to be feared.
You know, with previous viruses we've had happen in our country before, even in our lifetime by chance, why is this one so different?
I think it is different because it was planned, for one thing. This truly is a man-made pandemic, wow. And that came about via a gain-of-function research that has been proven beyond any reasonable doubt. We know that Dr. Fauci was funding this project for gain-of-function via the NIH. And so we have domestic operatives doing something that has a very specific purpose. Gain of function truly has no other purpose than to produce a bioweapon, something to harm people by increasing infection and increasing the severity of infection. And I really believe we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. So yes, why is this pandemic different from all others? Simply because it is a political weapon.
Yeah. All right. You mentioned the gain of function there, and I don't know if you're going to go there, but that's absolutely perfect. I want to play for you real quickly this exchange between Fauci, who you just mentioned, and Senator Rand Paul. I think everybody needs to hear this. If you haven't heard this already, just listen and just...
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. You do not know what you are talking about.
Gain of function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
That is
not.
Can't
get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth. You are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Okay, so that is Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci, and they have a bit of a love fest going, those two do. Every time they talk up on the Hill, there is definitely fireworks. And you could see that almost when you look at the body language of both of these gentlemen when they started to interact with each other. Now, obviously, Paul isn't backing down. Senator Paul isn't backing down anymore. He's going right after it. But this is really what we want our elected representatives to do. How do you think Fauci handled that, Dr. LoTulip, with his response? And he's in his very defense, there was commentary afterward that he's just saying what they did wasn't really called gain of function. But surely experts said it's the same thing. What do you say to that?
I believe that Dr. Fauci was caught in a lie. When words have meaning, and when we have a definition for gain of function given to us specifically by the NIH, and the definition certainly fits to a T when we talk about the production of the COVID-2 strain, then we know that Fauci had an agenda and he has done the very best he can to hide it. We could obviously see that he was very nervous in response to this accusation, because it's very apparent that he is guilty and he is just still trying to cover up his lie. And of course, it gets more and more difficult to do so as the pieces of the puzzle are coming together, which they are in a very clear picture.
Do you think there will eventually be accountability? I mean, you know, and listen to this a moment here. You know, about every one of these cats have been very slippery within the political landscape, and they all seem to slide and get a pass. They were able to pass go and collect about every time. Do you think this is any different this time? Do you think there will be some sort of accountability for this based on this conversation with Fauci and all?
I doubt so, because of who is in power right now. We have the Marxist Democrat Party, the Communist Party, as far as I'm concerned, controlling even our Supreme Court justices. And so because of that, I really believe that there is not much chance for accountability coming through our so-called judicial system, because justice has not prevailed for a good many years now with these liberals who seem to be able to hack all Americans in some way and manipulate them and control them. And there has been zero accountability. And that is now seeming to become the great American trait, which is a lack of accountability for one's actions. This absolutely has to change.
Yeah, that was well said. And I'll tell you, there are many people, and this may sound a little odd to folks, but that are wishing that Lady Justice would be blind again. We don't normally wish that on people, Dr. LoTulip, but in this particular case, we do wish that she would be blind. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. I think that, you know, as we are seeing the pieces of this puzzle put together, the picture is becoming very, very clear. And the picture is showing us that America is truly under attack. And I do believe we are at war, and they are using this coronavirus pandemic as their primary weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I want to talk to you more about your piece, your article, the money, the greed, and the cancel culture a little bit more. Stay right there just a moment, if you would, Dr. LoTulip. And again, when you read Dr. LoTulip's his pieces, his articles, this particular one this week, if you haven't read it, it's on AmericaOutloud.com, Living Under the Threat of a Perpetual Pandemic. It's really very good. Read it. It's a lot of people have been reading this over the last couple of days here. So take a look at that. And all right, let me bring on also now Dennis Santiago joins us. It's been a while since that Dennis on. He's a cultural strategist and social media influencer, focuses on strategic and asymmetric warfare, financial policy, and geopolitical stability. Facebook was in the news big time in the last few days. And that was because President Biden, who sometimes can be very verbose with his comments and very long-winded sometimes too, these days not so much, on the long-winded part. But he delivered a very concise statement and kind of an indictment of Facebook's record during the pandemic. He said they're killing people, okay? And the following day, then the president, he started to walk back that statement. And, you know, his handlers watched this very carefully, what he says and what he does. And he said Facebook was not, in fact, killing people, but should deal with the rampant disinformation about coronavirus vaccines on its platform that has led to so many Americans being unprotected. So this whole statement with Facebook, and you wrote a piece, you've got a great article up about this, Biden's message blacklists the vaccine opposition. So they're asking the administration to pull information off. They're asking them to manipulate the information, the data, and really to censor Americans for information or for their opinions. They put this all under the word disinformation, and they want to send it away. They want to pull it off the platforms. What do you think about this style and this strategy that is becoming more commonplace today?
Oh, It bothers me tremendously, because what you got going now is you very clearly you heard the degree of animus that is now between the two camps, and the commentary that is coming from both sides is desperate. They want to prevail, and they're really not asking the American people to be part of that discussion anymore, which is a disservice, I think, to the country, because in the world of proper analysis of what is going on, you have to allow both sides to make their arguments. And yes, their arguments may be highly emotional. They may be tainted by hatred between the parties, but that's something that reasonable people, reasonable Americans can very easily see through. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And we need to allow that to happen. And the problem that I see with the desperation that is starting to come, I think, from the Biden administration in particular at the moment, is that they don't know how to persuade in a reasonable fashion anymore. So they're falling victim to their own lack of clarity and message. And that's, you know, when you're not clear, Americans kind of turn away from you. And I think that's a very bad thing, because, you know, as I look at this, both sides have some very solid points that they need to make, and they need to make them in a way that Americans can decide for themselves what's going on. And so far, I don't see that happening. Yeah. I see basically a lot of he said, she said, and you got Facebook caught in the middle of it, basically going, you told us to be a platform, not a publisher. Yeah. And now you're telling us to edit like a publisher and not like a platform. So what's up?
In research of some of this, I've seen there were a lot of opinion pieces, and there was one in particular that caught my eye, actually a handful of them. This one from Mercury News, and they said Biden had it right the first time. Facebook is killing people. From facilitating genocide to COVID-19 disinformation, Tech Titan is causing many people to lose their lives. And they said the president didn't misspeak. He didn't oversimplify. He just said the quiet part out loud. Of course, out loud got my attention right there. From facilitating genocide and domestic extremism to the sale of deadly painkillers and, yes, COVID-19 disinformation, Facebook is causing many people to lose their lives. Now, all right, this holding social media responsible is what I want to really talk about here. Dr. Latulip, you know very well what the cancel culture is up to, and you know what the oligarchs are up to as well. How much policing, because we're going down those roads now where they are absolutely policing the media outlets and the social media outlets. You know, I grew up in an area as a young lad where you didn't have to like what somebody said, and you didn't have to like the platform it was on. And if you did, you just went the other way. You didn't have all this overreaching and policing going on. This is a dangerous trajectory in our nation that we're looking at, or do you think this is the way that it should be?
Well, the problem is that when we are talking about medical science and medicine, we have to have open discussion and, as much as possible, a completely unbiased evaluation of the data. If we are not willing to do that and to allow both sides to speak, then how are we ever to make a proper determination, which ultimately leads to the way that we treat our patients and the way that we treat disease. So if one side is being shut down completely, for one thing, I believe that is called tyranny, because then people no longer have a choice. And having a choice in medicine is called informed consent. And when patients do not hear the full story of what, for example, with the vaccine, what are the side effects? Potentially, can this kill me? They're not being told that. They're being told it is safe. And so if we don't hear the honest to goodness truth from both sides, then something is very lacking. And if we are going to be policed with the bias that only a conservative viewpoint will be sanctioned, then there goes informed consent.
Well, but isn't that already gone? We are being policed, Dr. Lewis. It's already happening.
It is. It has happened. Yeah. It continues to happen. Yeah. And the other really sad thing that I and many of my colleagues are facing is that we are being declared nutcases. We are being right. told that we are absolute right-wing radicals. And that is so far from the truth. The only interest I ever had as a physician was being the best physician I could based on the evidence that I have evaluated in the medical sciences and in the medical literature. We now live in a day when that cannot be trusted simply because of the bias, even in all of the medical professional organizations, such as American Pediatrics Association, which is now advocating, for example, for masking of all children from age 2 and onward if they are not vaccinated. This is totally absurd. This just smacks of dishonesty and has a total disregard for all the science.
All right. In the article, Biden's message, blacklist the vaccine opposition, Dennis, that you have here, that's published on America Out Loud. You say here, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki went as far as to suggest in one of her press briefings that social media should identify and target for censorship persons opposed to vaccination, and that social media should universally blacklist them across every platform. I mean, that is some pretty strong language there. And as I was just saying to Dr. Tulip, they're already doing this. I mean, we sometimes talk, we say, well, if they do this, or they, you know, this is the way it might be, or it's looking like that's what they want. But I would suggest to you, if this is what we call it, I mean, we already have this. It's happening. It's experience. I mean, this is tyranny already here. This isn't something that maybe, might be, they might do it. You know, it's happening right now. It's happening on a wide level. It's all over the place. So we're already experiencing this, Dennis. So I guess that goes along with Jen Psaki's comments. And they really do want Facebook and every other social media outlet for that factor to manage their messaging, don't they?
Yes, they do. And, you know, on top of that, there's also a Surgeon General's report that says the same thing. So what you have here is official government basically going out and beginning to say, in order for us to manage the pandemic, we have to limit the information that people get to only the stuff that will help us manage the pandemic in the way that we want. I have a great fear for this extreme point of view in terms of how one manages things by telling everybody else to shut up. And the problem is, you always have to ask the question, the very basic scientific question is, what if we're wrong? What if your solution isn't the right one? You'll never know it if nobody else is saying anything. And that's probably the single most dangerous thing about this of all.
You know, Dr. LaTulip, you talk a lot about this. You write a lot about this. You're passionate about this. But you talk about the tyranny that we're dealing with right now. These are things we never thought we'd see in our lifetimes. And yet it's becoming very commonplace. And how do you say very acceptable? It's the drip, 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 drip. And it becomes the new normal. You know, they started talking. You remember when this whole COVID thing happened? There was that talk about a new normal. I think we're sort of experiencing that right now with the perpetual pandemic. Are we not?
I believe we are. And as Dennis said, we do need to hear both sides. But when one side is completely ignoring the real science, I mean, the well-documented science, then that raises the question about what their agenda really is. My my global conclusion is that really this pandemic at this point has gone far beyond discussion about a virus. I believe this is purely political in its impetus, and I'm just saddened by the fact that so many people just do not see that, because I do believe that the pandemic will be perpetuated because it has been such an effective tool at controlling the population. And remember, we've had the virus and then the vaccine, which was already being planned for the virus before the virus manifested. Now, that's a concern in itself. And where is this going to lead to? Well, given the fact that it will take years to see the full effect, even of the vaccine or the so-called gene juice shot, we don't know what we're in for, to be honest with you. But if we think that this is all just scientific discussion about a virus, I think Americans are screwed because we are missing the big picture. And that's what concerns me. And I'm speaking as a military man here. I see a new kind of warfare being played out here. And it's very effective because we are not even recognizing that the enemy is attacking.
So when we talk about solving the problem and making a difference, you said something to me earlier, Dr. LaTulip, in a phone call we were having prior to today here, and just earlier in the day. And you said to me, and it struck my core, what you said. You said, Malcolm, we are making a difference. I really believe we are making a difference. And you said that within the nature of the work we're doing on the platform. We were talking about all of the things going on. It got my attention. I jotted it down because it reminded myself to remind me that we are making a difference. Speak to that point, please.
Well, Malcolm, I really do commend America Out Loud because I think that you attract a crowd of people that are not just patriots, but simply people that want to know what is the truth. This is the biggest problem. The dilemma of the propaganda war is who is telling the truth? Who is being upfront and honest with me? Or how do I know when I'm being manipulated or not? And I think people deserve an honest answer. And I think that we can, if we can offer this and just say, look, these are the pieces of the puzzle. They are going around, for example, in Oregon, our Marxist governor, Kate Brown, had to actually put out some big temptation of money in the form of a lottery to try to persuade people to get vaccinated. And why would anyone ever want to do that, a non-medical person nonetheless, a politician, unless there was some absolute political motive and incentive for doing this? And I think that eventually the truth will come out. And so I am thrilled with America Out Loud dealing with the issues and just simply trying to expose the facts, because ultimately, in the end, the facts will speak for themselves very clearly.
Yeah, that is exactly it. The facts will speak for themselves. That is our mission. It is a mission of liberty and justice for all. It has been that way from day one, to remains that way today. We are 5 years into this cycle here of America Out Loud. And I will tell you, my fellow Americans, I just said the other day, there's a reason we're here. There is an absolute reason. Our mission is a godly mission. That's the purpose of our platform. It's what we do. It's why we do it. And it's how we do it. We welcome you back there at AmericaOutloud.com and help us get the word out there. We are absolutely growing like a rocket ship because people are in need of the truth and they are seeking this this shelter with someone, a group like ours, because the media is gone full Marxist now in support of this Marxist left agenda. It is pretty sad, it's pretty sick, and it's pretty disgusting is what it is. But here we are. We didn't create the problem, but the problem exists, and we need to deal with it just the same here. Our tremendous thank you to you for all of our guests for being on the program here, and thank you for being on the mission. It's time to get involved and get loud.